so that you can see what's happening in the chapter before us.
Take knowledge of him or the son. Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. We appreciate that. Sharon, okay? Not feeling well. All right, we'll remember that. John, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good. Steve, you have your house completely done now?
It's, like I said, 95% done.
95?
I got to put little trim pieces here and there.
All right.
And that kind of stuff.
Okay. That's follow nice. Up work, that's good.
Got my television up over the fireplace now.
Okay. Nice. Of course, you don't have cable and all of that.
That's okay.
So you get to watch, you get to watch ABC, CBS, and NBC.
That's okay. No problem.
They're
getting new furniture, too, by
the way.
We arranged it all around.
Man, you're just getting highfalutin. And he doesn't want our trees with lights on them, either.
I don't know why I put
them. Those are good. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And first of all, if you got email today, Tish got bit by a snake last night, and Wes Tuttle said that'll teach her to get into snake worshiping and snake handling. And and she should have been here, and would have happened, and all that. But she walked outside in her little sandal, flip flop sandals, and snake bit her. They took her to the hospital, and she was a poisonous snake. Was a poisonous snake. Her leg is about as three times bigger than the other one, from the toes to the knee.
Wow.
And they gave her morphine at the hospital, and so she's home now. Yes.
Dr. Jerry, he said he believes, or they believe, that the snake bit her three times.
Three times? Yeah. Wow. Really? She didn't tell me that.
Yeah. So there's like six different puncture places or something like this. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know what kind of snake?
He thinks it's a copperhead. He said he's seen quite a few of them up there.
Really?
Yeah. Boy, they do. They go like that real quick.
Yeah, he said they believe it's three times. He got bit three times. There's six punctures.
She must try to take it.
Now, a rabbler will get into you and put it all in one bite. But a copperhead does that.
I don't do much about it. I just don't like it.
Wow. And she said her right, her leg is about three times bigger than the other leg, and they've marked it. Leslie's out there with her. They've marked a point, and if it gets above that tonight, they're going to come into a hospital here in Plano, Baylor Hospital here in Plano. So we need to be in prayer for the subsiding of the effect of the poison and her own temperament and all. So we just definitely need to be in prayer. She was saying, I think Satan just didn't want me to come to class on Wednesday night. There's always something going on. And I told her, I said, well, I was going to tell you, if you didn't want to come, you don't need to go get a snake and have him bite you. And that's all right.
Is she in pain? Did she say she's in pain?
She's in pain pills that the hospital gave her, and she's taking them. So she said, I just feel a little funny, but I don't feel any pain.
Did she drive us off to the hospital?
No. Her brother Larry came over and drove her in. Yeah. And Leslie's there tonight. Yeah. So. Okay, so that's what's going on. And when I first talked to her this morning, about 8:30, I told her, I said, don't you know farmers and ranchers are supposed to wear boots so you don't step in cow manure and get bit by snakes? Those are two reasons why you wear boots. And she said, no, I didn't know that. And she does now. So let's be in prayer for Tish and her leg and then her side and all that's going on with that. Vic Edwards, we got word he did not break his upper leg and hip. Badly bruised. Go ahead.
Deep bruise. Very deep bruise.
Okay.
And bed rest for a while, then they'll go from there. So.
Okay. Is he in? Is he pain pills and things?
He didn't say.
He didn't say. Okay. Well, let's be in prayer.
Cindy's taking very good care of him.
Yeah. So let's be in prayer for Cindy and Vic Edwards, and just he'll get the feeling that his leg will heal the wound and other bruising. And also, that's.
Did that happen to Tish last night?
Last night, yes.
Because it was strange. Last night, you said, where are Leslie and Jerry? I hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
Leslie said that last night.
Oh, was not.
So, that did happen last night. And let's see, whom else do we. Be in prayer for Harold and Father, they down in the Houston area. So we just need to be in prayer for them. And anybody goes down to Houston, just pull off in the woodlands there and just drive over and you can see him. And it's right off of the freeway, right off of 75. And so. Let's see, who else do we have in prayer?
Mr. Hess,
please be in prayer for the entire Hess family. They need our prayers so much. And just personal things going on, and the Lord knows, so just be in prayer. In prayer for Bill Hess, bless his heart. So be in prayer for them. Okay, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John 14. The Gospel of John 14. Very important verse, as much as the previous one that we studied last week. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word by prayer and testing yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. Need to be in prayer for Sharon. Sharon Tuttle's not feeling very well tonight, so we need to be in prayer for Sharon Tuttle that whatever Wes did to her will heal up real quick. That she'll get the feeling better. So, she's subject to headaches real bad, isn't she? Does she have one tonight? No good, okay.
No, not tonight.
Not tonight. All right. Why not tonight? Remember that hymn, Wes? Why not tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for for the God that you are, that in this great chapter of the second sending, the sending of the Holy Spirit, we see so many demonstrations of what divine love, spiritual love, will look like. How your love is observant, but not your heart be troubled all through this. And sending of the Holy Spirit, this, all the things going. This chapter is a monument to spiritual love. It's a monument to how spiritual love acts, how spiritual love observes. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, the passage we have tonight. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 27 we completed last week, but just to kind of get you into the flow of spiritual love. And, verse 26, but the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So here we have some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings into our memory, causes us to learn and grasp Scripture, and then brings it to our memory. He will teach us all things. I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. Here's spiritual love, observing the need to learn, to grasp the Word of God. Verse 27 now. He comes back to a personal element, but in context, the peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you. Okay, verse 26. But the Parakletos, the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So it's the sending of the Holy Spirit, the whole context here. Peace I leave with you. I'm going away, so I leave it. My peace, peace that the Holy Spirit gives me, I give to you. So first of all, he leaves emphasizing that he's going away. He gives to them, he graciously gives to them, not as the world gives. And we took up about 9 ways that the world gives. Do I give to you? Then again, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Let it experience this inner peace. Now tonight we come to verse 28. You heard that I said to you, I go away. I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Okay. I've for a long time now, I've used this in all my funerals, especially if I know the person's a believer who's died. And it's just a wonderful piece to encouragement. That if you really love this person, they're with the Father, the Son, in heaven, and you would rejoice. You'd be happy that they're there if you understand, one, how important and how wonderful it is to be with Jesus Christ. It's really wonderful. So let's take a look now. You heard that I said to you, I go away. All right, look at 13, chapter 13, verse 33. 13:33. Little children, talking to the disciples in the upper room, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. So he's told them that he's going to leave. All right, you heard. I hate to just stop right here, but there's just so many beautiful things with you heard. So let's just take up a few observations. I'll not make a big doctrine out of this, but just 3 or 4 observations on you heard. First, hearing goes with that all-important verb, listen, that we have seen throughout the Bible is such an important word. Come near and listen. And Isaiah 28, they would not listen. So first we have to hear the truth. We have to hear what God would have us to hear. And that's minister of the Holy Spirit, to hear the Word. Secondly, the Holy Spirit cannot cause you to remember, cannot cause you to recall that which you have never heard. See the previous verse? previous verse or a couple of verses up, he will keep my words in. These things I spoke to you, but the Helper come, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So for the Holy Spirit to cause us to remember or recall, you have to first of all heard. It's amazing how few people have heard the truth of the gospel. They get lies and all this type of thing. How few Christians have heard much more than that. It's no surprise that this country is in the condition it's in because the pulpit's in the condition it's in. That's just all there is to it. Just speaking of her, sent me an email the other day from somebody starting something across America, getting everybody to pray. And boy, just went through. And if we got a million people to pray, America would be changed and all this. And I just got on my soapbox and I said, wait a minute. And they use Second Chronicles. I said, first of all, America has no promise that we're going to be here. We have no promise. Israel has a promise. Jerusalem has a promise. We don't have a promise. Secondly, just because every born-again believer prayed in the power of the Spirit, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. If God's got a plan, taking it up to the rapture. And then I was very rude and said, hey, wait, how many of these people that all these people want to get praying even know how to pray in the Spirit? Which is a mandate in Scripture. And I just went on and on and on. And she didn't even answer me. She just called up and she says, I got the picture. Bye. And so that was it. Bye. So, point one. First, you have to hear the truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit cannot cause you to recall or remember that which you have never heard. Point three, under the power of the Holy Spirit, what you have heard in truth can and will be of great assistance in your life. Now, we're going to see that as we go through this. This is especially true, as we're going to see, in stress, anxiety, and depression. And if you, I said to you, I'm going away, you would have rejoiced. That's what the truth will do to you. It has powerful effects. And you can go under stress, anxiety, depression, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, it can just change how you receive all of this, and that's what we'll spend most of tonight on, so I'm going to move on. Four, this is very important. Whom do you listen to? This is talking about listen. I said to you, whom do you listen to? You have heard that I said to you. So, whom do you listen to? Got to pay close attention to whom you listen, when you listen to them. So, this is all very important. We could take a whole lot more points on listening and hearing, but that just gives you an idea of the momentum here. You heard that I said to you, I go away. Okay, question, where is he going? It is not so important where he is going, people, as it is to whom he's going. To me, this is very important. It's not so much where he's going as to whom he is going. Jesus Christ is going away to God the Father, the very one from whom he came. Look back at 13:1, the way that he words this. Chapter 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, not to heaven. That's where the Father is, but that's not the emphasis. To the Father. So, and I emphasize this with people. It's not so important we're going to go to heaven when we die. We're going to go be with the Lord when we die. We're going to be with God when we die. Going to be with Jesus Christ when we die. So that's far more important. Who are we going to? Now, it's accurate to think that it is heaven. This is where we're going to heaven. So what's in heaven? It's where the throne of God is. That's where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Hearing is where our eternal, heaven is where our eternal dwelling place will be. So, and Jesus Christ is there now. He's preparing a place for us. Look at 14, 2 and 3. Just 2 and 3. In my Father's house. This is where he's going. Going to his Father's house. are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, this is the accurate translation. But I still love the old King James, and where in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, then I go to prepare a mansion for you. I just like that idea. But it's a dwelling place. It'll probably be much better than a mansion. But just the old country gospels talked about the mansion over the hilltop. Okay, so we got by that. Verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And recall, what he's really doing is asking them to ask for the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, the point is made. You heard that I said to you, I go away and will come to you. Okay, the all-important question, what does this mean? I go away, I will come to you. Not I will come for you, rapture, but I will come to you. Jesus Christ is here speaking of the Holy Spirit. I go away, I will come to you. That's the Holy Spirit, the one that he's going to send. Look at verse 18 now. This is kind of important. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. Okay? Hey, that's readable. Of course, you can't hardly read it up there, but anyway, that's pretty good. You're right. I've learned to be careful what I sign and how I sign it. Okay. This says, ergo mai. Okay, ergo mai. And then pros. Just the way it looks in the Greek. And then humas. We'll go pros face to face to you. Okay, I will come. Now, look at verse 28. Verse 28, I will come to you. Guess what? Verse 28, Erkamai, pros, umas. I will come to you. Now, the use of the same word, same phrase, to me is no accident. When Jesus Christ departs, he is going to send another parakletos, another one just like him. You heard that I say to you, I go away, and I will come to you. I go away, I'm going to come to you immediately. So how's he going to do that? This is talking about the sending of the Holy Spirit. So this is what he has in mind here. This is the whole context of this whole section of Scripture. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus Christ leaves, he's going to immediately send to us another, just like him, did a deity, Parakletos, another just like him. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. How can he go away and at the same time come to them? By sending the Holy Spirit that will take his place. Now, let's add to the force of understanding this. Let's look at Gospel of John 7. Just turn to the Gospel of John 7 a moment. A few pages back. And let's look at 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But, by the way, I got maligned by my friend John Hintz, because when we were on our trip together to the Grand Canyon, Sedona and all, I kept telling them all they need to drink reverse osmosis water in that kind of heat. And they just got too much of hearing reverse osmosis. And he said, I can hear you now when you get to heaven and the Lord offers you living water, you're going to ask if it's reverse osmosis. So, he who believes in me, As the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when he says, I will go away, I'm going away, that's to be glorified at the right hand of the Father, and I will come to you, that's the sending of the Holy Spirit. So we put all this together, and to me it's just so strong, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You heard that I said to you, I go away, I will come to you. He must go away before the Holy Spirit can be given. Now he says, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father. All right, let's take a look at if you loved me. Now, like I said, I use this in funerals to encourage family and friends, but it's time now to really look at the passage. I don't do this at a funeral. I don't get into long exegesis of a passage. All right, let's all get the books out and let's get this exegeted here. But just kind of give them encouragement. But it's time for us to really see what he's talking about. If you loved me. Okay, first of all, this is third class, which is probability. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But let me tell you some few other things about the third class condition. The key is this Greek particle on, which looks like this, it lets you know which class of you're dealing with. It's A-N, just A-N. And what this does, what on does, gives the idea of proposition, uncertainty, probability. Here it gives the idea of possibility of this love. And the probability of this love depends on the being filled with the Holy Spirit and loving with a love that comes from the Holy Spirit. So that's what it's dependent upon. It's probable, but it's dependent upon the filling of the Spirit. You don't have that, you're not going to do it. They do not love him because they do not have the filling of the Spirit. They don't have it. But he didn't condemn them in that sense. He said, there's something lacking, why you don't? We cannot be harsh on the disciples here, for they did not have the Holy Spirit. If we wanted to be harsh, we could be harsh that they did not ask for the Holy Spirit. But they did not have the Holy Spirit at this time, and from whom they would have received love for Jesus Christ. It's like prayer. You could have a million people praying out of the Spirit, and have one person praying in the Spirit. Which do you think has more weight with God? Numbers? No. Power of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So this is important. So we can, they should have the Holy Spirit, because they should have asked for it, but they didn't. They will get it on the day of Pentecost. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. If, and probability based on the filling of the Spirit, you loved me, you, the disciples, me, Jesus Christ, we have the imperfect active indicative of our friend agapao and spiritual love. It's imperfect. Now what's interesting here is the imperfect is used to present action of the verb as in progress in past time. So what he's saying is, in past time when I taught you that I'm going away, had you had the filling of the Holy Spirit then and continued to have the Holy Spirit, you would have loved me. But you didn't have it. Even before I told you I was going away, you would have had this love. So, if you loved me, if based on the Holy Spirit, you would have rejoiced. This is the aorist active indicative of charao, C-H-A-I-R-O, charao, from charis, grace. To rejoice, to be glad, be joyful. The aorist tense is in the point of time when Jesus Christ told them. When he first told them, if they had been filled with the Spirit, and he brings to memory all these truths, boom, hey, that is great, can we go with you? But they weren't, and so they did not rejoice with him. And if this, love Jesus Christ, then this they would have rejoiced. Let me just tell you what we're doing here. If this, then this. If the Holy Spirit, then they would have rejoiced. I'm getting ready to talk with you now about the great effects of the Holy Spirit in our life when things happen in our life. When we hear, pick up the phone and hear a report, your husband comes home, your wife comes home, somebody comes home, your boss calls you in your door. So whenever you're hearing something, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then this will affect how you react or respond to what you hear. So we got to always remember, whenever the phone rings or something, and I do, just, boy, am I in the spirit. Don't know what's going to be on the other side of this thing. So, if this, then this. Now, what is interesting to me here, and I started looking for other verses where this occurs, but I didn't have time to go through all the combinations, is that if you'll notice, we have two fruit of the Holy Spirit. Two impacts that come from the Holy Spirit. You see that? What are they? Excuse me? No, we have two impacts or effects of the Holy Spirit. Filling of the Spirit. Love. And what else? Well, joy. You would have rejoiced. So we have two here, two impacts that work together. This got me thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. Not only do I've always just kind of looked at them alone, you know, let's study the fruit, let's study this. But boy, here we have joy, we have love, excuse me, we have love, spiritual love, and peace. Excuse me, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So in context, we have three. I didn't even realize that. So we have the first three of the Holy Spirit and peace. And first was peace. Well, first actually was the love. That brought the peace. That brought the joy. It's just amazing how all of this works together and the impact of the Holy Spirit. We have so much to learn about spiritual love. I never will even begin to really scratch the surface of all there is to learn of spiritual love. And this just gives us an idea of what I'm saying. If you love me, if you love me, then this would have happened. You would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. The Greek particle, hate, introduces cause of rejoicing. And the cause of rejoicing is the hearing that Jesus Christ is going to die and go to heaven. That's what they hear. And what would that do if they were filled with the Spirit and had no, and he brought to memory all of these things? Rejoicing. Now that sounds rather difficult. I try to say it not in those terms at funerals, but that's the deal. They're home with the Lord. Why would we not rejoice? Why would you call them back? So this is the if clause. If you were filled with the Spirit, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I go to the Father. Okay, principle. Thoughts precede action. No matter how you deny this, thoughts precede action. First you have to think before something happens. You think something and then something happens. You have to think before you become frightened. Fear. You have to choose to think of yourself, what is going to happen to you, rather than immediately thinking about Jesus Christ, where he's going to go. You choose what you're going to think about. I'm going away. Ah, what about me? They choose to think that way. And when you choose to think that way, fear, worry, troubled heart. We choose to think the way we want to think, people. And it's not out of line, because this is what the Holy Spirit does, that we choose to think that, or we could choose to think, boy, he's going home with the Father. That's super. I rejoice in that and wait when I go. That's just the way you learn to think. And in the power of the Spirit, he will guide us in how we think. But thought precedes action. And this is very important. when they heard that Jesus was going to the Father, they immediately thought of themselves, went into self-pity, fear, rather than choosing to immediately think of Jesus Christ and the plan of God. Had they chosen to think of Jesus Christ, where He's going, they would have rejoiced. So thoughts precede action. You hear the news, He's going to die and He's going to go away. You immediately think of Him, well, He's going to die. Oh, well, He's going to go with the Father. Great. And there would have been peace, joy, demonstrating the love that they had for Him. Just changes everything. Does not mean we do not sorrow. I'll come to that in a moment. Doesn't mean they would not have sorrowed. It doesn't mean they would not, maybe not have asked, you know, after they rejoiced, well, what's going to happen to us? That's a fair question. Because He said, you come with Me and we'll set up the kingdom, all these things, which they thought would happen. Now, thoughts precede action. People like to deny this and claim that they have no control over the reaction to bad news. That fear just comes over you. Self-pity comes over you. Worry comes over you. Fear comes over you. But people, the truth of the matter is, we choose to think or not think. We choose what we want to think. And that's a very difficult thing. But you have to decide, am I going to be in the Holy Spirit or not? It's like my old example I used in stress, anxiety, depression. Phone rings, you pick it up. This is the highway patrol. I hate to tell you, your husband, your children, your child just died on the highway. Now, you've immediately got to make a decision. Am I going to fall apart and just start screaming and crying? Am I going to immediately go into blame? That's what a lot of people do. I told you not to let them have the keys to the car. Are you going to fall apart and have no control of yourself? Or are you going to merely think, God is in control. God is in control of my children. He's in control of my life. Thank you, Father. And then hang up. So, this is we choose. We choose what we want to think. And this idea that it doesn't just come over us. It is always preceded by thought. Anger is preceded by thought. Fear is preceded by thought. Self-pity is preceded by thought. Fear, worry, preceded by thought. But the truth is, we are in control of our own thought. And just as you're overtaken by emotions, all of these things, which is a way of making a choice yourself. You make a decision not to think in terms of the Lord, not to think in the case of the death of Christ, not to think in terms of He's going to heaven, going to be with the Father, all these things. You choose to think of yourself, and if you choose to think of yourself, then it goes into fear, goes into worry, what about me, all this type of stuff. So it's a powerful concept we're looking at here. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you, Holy Spirit. If you love me, you would have rejoiced. Because of the rejoicing, I go to the Father. Not just death. Don't think in terms of death. Where are they? He's going to be with the Father. Wow, that's great. If we just stop at death, that's bad in just stopping there. But boy, if we think with the Father, with the Son, in our terms, and we rejoice with that. So it causes a rejoice to temper the sorrow. Does not remove the sorrow, but it tempers the sorrow. Okay, because I go to the Father. That is because He's going to die. Of course, in case of Jesus Christ, He's going to die, then resurrected. But they're not thinking about the resurrection. They're occupied with the departure by death, leaving them behind. This is their thought process. And so, naturally, all these things are going to come over them. So we have this situation of Jesus Christ going to die, depart, and His disciples left behind here. First level is that death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session of Jesus Christ for our salvation. But we also have a personal level in this verse. That this is what I want to talk about in a few moments. A personal level. That personal level is of the disciples dealing with the death of Jesus Christ. His friends have to deal with his death. This is what I want to look at tonight. We're well acquainted with death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and ascension of Jesus Christ. But we're talking here about the men. It's what Jesus Christ is interested in. Jesus Christ is not interested in his own death, resurrection, ascension, and ascension, leaving the earth. He's interested in these men. That's spiritual love in action. That's spiritual love in action. Somebody else might judge them. Oh, you men, quit falling apart. Quit acting that way. You're still... No, Jesus Christ doesn't do that. So he's going to help his friends deal with his own death. Here we learn, people, more and more about spiritual love. There is so much to learn about spiritual love, and as much as we've studied it, we just scratched the surface of what there is to know. So let's take up some points on this aspect. Point one. Spiritual love affects our response to news. Spiritual love affects our response to news, to information. This is especially true when we hear pertinent news, personal, pertinent information. Two, I know we know this, but just for the sake of those people who are listening on the internet or disc, point two, spiritual love is a force. And as a force, has direction. Let's put this on the board. Spiritual love as a force. A spiritual force. As a spiritual force, it has direction. As a spiritual force, it has magnitude. As a spiritual force, it has impact or effect. Push-pull effect, like any force will. I like to point out and use John 3:16 as the biblical text for showing this. For God so loved, what's the direction of his love? The world. What's the magnitude of his love? That he gave his only begotten Son. What's the impact or the effect of his love? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here we have, under point two, love is a force, and as a force, has direction, magnitude, or effect. Point three. The love that Jesus Christ is speaking about is love that comes from the Holy Spirit through the saints by faith in the Holy Spirit. This is not a love that comes from our flesh nature. Oh, I love Jesus, and oh, I love God, and I just love Him, and all of this type of thing. Get this fuzzy feeling when I even say it, and all that. No, this is a love that comes from the Holy Spirit. This is divine love. I call it spiritual love because it comes from the Holy Spirit to a spiritual creature and has spiritual impact. So this is a love that comes from the Holy Spirit through the saints. The direction of this love, in our context, the direction of this love is toward Jesus Christ Himself. If you loved me. Now, as far as the magnitude and effect of this love, I'm going to combine those two for what's coming up. Point four. The effect and magnitude of this love is that this love, spiritual love, is that it affects our response to news or information we receive. Spiritual love, if you're in spiritual love, it will affect your thinking about that information that you've heard. It sets your whole mind work into a mindset, into a direction of thought, not about yourself, but about the plan of God in simplicity. And that determines your thought process. So the effect of this love, it has an effect of this love, is that this love is that It affects our response to news or information we receive. So you receive information, hear information, and people hear this all the time. Parents when the children in school, wrecks, all kinds of horrible things that we hear. Something happened to somebody we loved, all this type of thing. Okay, point five. Example, in our passage. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. You would have rejoiced. 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices in truth, with truth. So here, the example is the effect, the impact of this love is that it would have caused them to rejoice instead of being occupied with themselves. They would have been occupied with the Lord. Okay, what is your thought when someone that you love dies? What's your thought? I'm sure everyone, it's the age of the people here, that you've had somebody you love die and to go home with the Lord. What is your thought process? Some do not want to rejoice. Do not want to rejoice that the one they love is with the Lord. They do not want to think about the person they love. They do not want to think about that they're with the Lord. They just don't want to. They want to dwell on themselves. Just like these disciples here. They're not thinking about Jesus Christ. They're thinking about themselves. They have made a choice. They made a mental decision. Thought. Their thought process, me. They heard bad news about someone else. What about me? Your child's been in a wreck, you fall apart. You didn't even ask how badly they've been wrecked. What happened? Where are they? Didn't you just fell apart. Your thought was totally on you. Their thought is totally on themselves in this deal. They're not thinking, let me think this through. Where is he going? He's going to heaven. Going to be with the, okay, he's going to be with the Father. Okay, he's in great shape. And I rejoice in that. So, but you can make a thought process. It's all about me. Just like the disciples here. They're not thinking about Jesus Christ. They're not thinking of the relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. Boy, if you just think about that. Jesus Christ, God the Father, He loves the Father. The Father loves Him. He came because the Father sent Him. The Father sent Him. He obeyed the Father. All these wonders. And man, they're going to be back together. He had to judge His Son on the cross and all. And now they're going to be back. Wow! That is just fantastic! That's what happens when you're in spiritual love. It causes you to think a certain way. I rejoice. I'm so glad you're going to be able to go back now after bearing the sins of the world and be with the Father. That's just wonderful. But when you're not filled with the Spirit, do not have spiritual love, you're going to think in the flesh. And the flesh thinks of me. What about me? How could he leave me? Why are you leaving me? Why are you going away? And you talked about bringing in a kingdom. You talked about doing this and that. Why are you leaving me? You're occupied with yourself. But if you're in spiritual love, you're occupied. Love has a direction. And the direction is for them. Their love is directed toward the Lord. You think about the object of your love. That's what you do with love. Spiritual love thinks of the object of that love. It's observant of the object of that love. Boy, how wonderful it would have been if they'd have just rejoiced in it. Or just maybe one of them said, you know, you're going on with the Father and all. I think you just need to be alone tonight. So I'm going to excuse myself. Now, before you knock that, that's what Jesus Christ is going to do in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's just going to pick out a few of them that he can just take up on the Mount of Olives and spend time with them. But if you're thinking of that person, what does that person need? What is that person? What can I do for you, Lord, before all of this happens? How can I serve you? And this type of thing. No, what about me? Why are you leaving me? That's all they can think about. So they're not thinking about their relationship, Jesus Christ's relationship with the Father. They're thinking about their relationship with Jesus Christ, and He's going to leave them, and it's all about me. So they're thinking of themselves. When we die, how we die, is entirely up to the plan of God. It's entirely up to the love of God. When we are filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Spirit, we hear of death of someone we love. Jesus Christ says here, you would have rejoiced. Got to think about that. Boy, that's going to be difficult. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you sorrow. We're not divorcing ourselves from being human. You will sorrow. But boy, that sorrow is so tempered by joy of where they are. That sorrow is just so lessened in its effect and hurt by the effect of what? Spiritual love. Spiritual love has an effect. Sorrow has an effect. Thinking human viewpoint has an effect. Thinking of yourself has an effect. Thinking of the Holy Spirit, that has an effect on how we take in information. So it just so easy. I remember when I did my mother's funeral. At the very first, it was a little difficult. And I looked down at my brother and I said, don't worry, I'll do all right. And I said, this is the most difficult funeral I've ever done. This is the happiest funeral I've ever done. The same time as both of those. Because I was so happy where she was, out of that wretched body. She was home with the Lord. So when we die, how we die is entirely up to the plan of God. Entirely up to His love. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we hear of the death of someone we love, Jesus Christ says here, you would have rejoiced. Instead of being overwhelmed with sorrow, our sorrow is tempered with that inner peace. And that inner peace, fruit of the Spirit, and then you start thinking through, they're going to be with the Lord, and there's rejoicing. Why? Because you love them. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to point six. When you love someone and you hear good news concerning them, the response of spiritual love is to rejoice. And that someone is going to God the Father, they're going to die, spiritual love rejoices. See, I threw a little twist on you. We start out with, when you love someone, you hear good news concerning them, the response of love is to rejoice. Oh, you hear they got a raise, you hear they got this, or this happened to them, and all these things. Oh, man, I'm so happy for you. Well, let's talk about this. You hear the good news that they're going home to be with the Father. You rejoice. Hear that they're going to die, or they have died, and going to be with the Father, you rejoice. This rejoice tempers the sadness of their departure. This is the impact of spiritual love in our souls. Point seven. Let's say you hear that a friend, husband or wife, wife or husband, so on, has hurt you, let you down, offended you, transgressed against you. What is the effect of spiritual love on your soul? What is the effect, the impact? Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love does not take into account itself. So what does that give you? What will spiritual love do then? That's what spiritual love will not do. Not let you be occupied with yourself. It causes you to be long-suffering. When you're long-suffering, you can what? You can think of them. You can think of them. Are they out of fellowship? Then I need to help them be restored. Is what they say true? If there is, then I need to take care of it. If what is going on with them is between them, then I need to either pray or encourage them to get back into the filling of the Spirit. That's what spiritual love does, people. It takes all the burden off our shoulder to deal with the other person and what's happening in their life and turn it over to the Lord. Look at point eight. Someone hurts you, lets you down, and when you hear this news, you seek to get even with them. But the effect of spiritual love, the effect of spiritual love on your soul, on your thinking, is that you return their harm with kindness. Why is that? Because spiritual love is not occupied with itself. How dare you hurt me? I need to get even with you. I need to do this with you. But what spiritual love does is say, no, some reason they did that, and I've got to be thankful, thinking of them, and help them get back into the filling of the Spirit. Instead of getting even, you help them. Husband, wife comes home, and they're rude, hostile, inconsiderate. Your first thought is to counter. Make them feel as bad as you do. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your first thought is kindness. What's wrong with this? This isn't the way they are all the time. What's going on in them? So you have to make of your, how do you want to think? Thought precedes action. How do you want to think? You want to think of yourself? How you're offended? Or do you want to think of them? What happened to them? What's going on in their soul that caused them to act this way? To come in belligerent or just not thankful the way they usually are? So how do you desire to respond to others in life? This is what this passage is dealing with. See, in our study here, many people prefer to dwell on their own hurt, their own self-pity. They do not want the wonderful effect of spiritual love on their souls. This person has to pay for what they did. You don't talk to me that way. You don't treat me that way. Don't do that. Spiritual love doesn't think that way. Spiritual love has the unbelievable impact on your thinking, on your soul, on your stability of emotion, how you handle the news. This is the effect of spiritual love. You would have rejoiced. See, you would have rejoiced. When I told you I'd go away, you would have rejoiced. Because you would have rejoiced because I go away. I go to the Father. The effect. If you love me, this would be your response. You can always... No one ever has to tell me I'm not in the filling of the Spirit. All I have to do is be conscious of how I'm acting, how I'm talking, what's going on with me. I know. I can hear myself. I can hear myself. So, this is just powerful. And how this thing works. We had... our grandchildren over today, and a couple other friends of theirs were over. And when the other friends left, the two grandchildren came up and said, "Boy, they sure fight a lot and talk back and forth to each other." And I just looked at her and I said, "Now, do you see what you look like when you two fight with each other?" And boy, they weren't ready for that. They went, "Ooh, yeah, that's what you look like. That's what you sound like. Is that pretty?" No. So, you've got to make up your mind. How you want to handle different things in life, and spiritual love makes all the difference. Am I trusting the Holy Spirit? Okay, we will resume at this point next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Well, Heavenly Father, you sure put us in a corner when we act like what we are in our flesh nature. We choose to. We've made a decision. Thought precedes every action. And that's a tough one to swallow. I choose to look like a jerk. I choose to act like a jerk. I choose to sound like a jerk. This other person didn't do it to me. Circumstances didn't do it. I thought it. I chose to be a jerk. I could just as easily have chosen to be who I am in Christ. I could just as easily chosen to think of my relationship with Jesus Christ, to be in the power of the Spirit and let spiritual love have its own impact and effect in my life. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, let them settle deeply into our souls, and then have an impact in our lives. To this end, Father, I do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.